Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracle of Scott. Hope everybody's doing awesome tonight. Thank you for being so flexible for me. The beauty of these shows is that you can download them whenever you want. And so I'm calling this one The Presence and Communion and Participation in the Holy Spirit. So I feel so excited because tomorrow is July. And so we're going out together as this month ends. And so I want to welcome July and the celebration of our country and its freedom. And so this will definitely be another continuing series as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, because he does so much for us. He strengthens us, perfects us, completes us, and makes us what we ought to be, encourages us, consoles us, comforts us. He helps us to be of the same mind. He helps us to live in peace. He's the God of love, the source of all affection. He's benevolent towards us. He's the author and promoter of peace. And he'll always be with us. We can have communion with him and participation with the Lord. We can enjoy his presence, and it's all because of the Holy Spirit. He's so incredible. And so, of course, I always want you to remember to say thank you to IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. The Lord bless them and keep them, make his face to shine upon them, and give them his peace. And I just thank you, Lord, for giving them above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine. I want to, of course, declare Numbers 10:9 and play the recording of the shofar. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from every single one of your enemies. Thank you, Jesus. As we continue to talk about the Holy Spirit, I just thank you, Father of glory, that by your power, Father, in the name of Jesus, and by your power, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insights into your mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of you, Lord, by having the eyes of our heart, metaphorically, the eyes of our mind, the faculty of knowing, of our hearts flooded with light. Thank you for giving us light, for enlightening us, for illuminating us, to enlighten and spiritually imbue us with your saving knowledge. Thank you, Lord, so that we can know and understand the hope to which you have called us. And how rich is your glorious inheritance in us, Lord. And so that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of your power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, far, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, and we are his feet, we're his body. Thank you, Lord. You put all things under our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you for filling everything in every place, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, just like John 6:63 says, It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit demonstrates that's what the whole book of Acts is all about. When Jesus preached, when Jesus was preached, the Spirit of the Lord was there to put his seal on what was being said, because he demonstrates the kingdom of God. And I wanted to go in 1 Corinthians 2:1, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You know, we have to discuss Acts 8 because it's such a picture of revival and the revival that was going on and all the persecution that was happening. I just want to read Acts 8:1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And, of course, they're talking about Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, and he would put them in prison. Of course, we know he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and became one of the most powerful apostles that there ever was. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Remember, we talked about how Paul said, you know, it's not by persuasive words of men's wisdom, but it's the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And here, Philip is demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit through signs and wonders. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Now, I think we have to really think about this, because I know a lot of people think, especially in the church, you know, everything has to be quiet and, you know, everything's supposed to be just so. But if you look at everything that happened in revival in the book of Acts, there was so much going on. You know, there was persecution. If you just look in Acts 8, there's persecution. They were all scattered around. Now Philip's in the middle of a revival, and there's a sorcerer who is in the mix here. So let's go into Acts 8, 9. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. So here a sorcerer comes to know the Lord Jesus. It says, now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about all through the book of Acts how, and all through the scriptures, the Holy Spirit has to be received. You know, I always say it, you know, I hear so many people say, well, if he wants to baptize me in the Spirit, he will. Well, no, that's not the way it works. It's, as the scriptures say, it's not people's opinions. It says, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And of course, that's salvation. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was being bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. But Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me yourself, so that nothing of what you said may come upon me. And so here this man, you know, he comes to know the Lord, but he still is fresh in this and still has a lot of the iniquities of his past, obviously, are still going. He just became a believer. And so he repents of that wrong. And so in Acts 8:26, it's so amazing because an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Now I want you to really pay attention to that, because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Philip, and he completely understood what he was saying very clearly. And so Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. In other words, he translated him, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Isn't that beautiful? And so we're going to talk about a really amazing day in his story. And it's the very first Gentiles, not only were baptized in the Spirit first, and we've talked about this so many times, before they were water baptized, but the Spirit of God was speaking to Peter about how he was calling the Gentiles. And I love this chapter because our God is supernatural. Cornelius had a supernatural encounter with an angel, and Peter had a vision. He went into a trance. And so they knew which kingdom it came from, and they did not fear that it was the devil. As they were hearing the message of Jesus. The Spirit of God was heard clearly by Peter, and his mission was clearly told to him. So we have to understand the Spirit of the Lord speaks, and he can be heard and understood. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. This is Acts 10:10. And he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by the four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Oh, Peter's like, "Oh, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you." So you see, you can hear the Holy Spirit, and you can hear him giving directions. Listen to how clear Peter heard him very clearly. "But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." So he invited them in and gave them lodging. On the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am just a man." As he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. And this is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask, for what reason have you sent for me?" So, of course, Cornelius gives his supernatural encounter also. Cornelius said, "4 days ago, to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God.'" Now think about that. His intercession and his giving went up before the very throne of God, and God remembered Cornelius and his family. "Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He's staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have commanded by the Lord." Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And you yourselves know the things which took place." I want you to really think about how Peter was like, "I knew nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified." And so Peter begins to talk about, you know, Jesus and his mission and what happened. So he says, "You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed, you know, of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, because Jesus also had to have the power of the Holy Spirit as he walked the earth, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He came to heal the oppressed. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. See, now he's preaching Jesus and him crucified. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. There it is again. You have to receive Jesus and his forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were, and how did they know the Holy Spirit was poured out on them? Because they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Peter answered, because they were pretty freaked out because they weren't baptized yet. God baptized them in the Holy Spirit. And then he's like, oh, we're hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stand for a few days. You know, we never want to do things in the flesh, right? Because it won't profit anything. We want the Spirit to bring us life and speak to us spirit to spirit. And so we're going to stop a second and we're going to play a song. And we're going to play this absolutely gorgeous song. It's called Resting Place, because that's what we want, the Holy Spirit. We want him to be our resting place. And so we want to be his resting place. I just couldn't get that out there. Okay, here it is. Thank you for this beautiful song, Misty Edwards, Resting Place. Lord, I wait for you. Isn't that beautiful? I accidentally shut it off, but I couldn't really play the whole thing anyway. So, yes, we want to make a resting place for him. And so the Holy Spirit longs for that. He longs for communion with us. And so I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 14. This is in the Amplified, and it's so beautiful. Oh, the God of love, the source of affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence towards men, the author and promoter of peace. Finally, brethren, farewell, rejoice. Be strengthened, perfected, completed, made what you ought to be, encouraged and counseled and comforted. Be of the same agreeable mind one with another, living peace, and then the God of love, who is the source of affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence towards men, and the author and promoter of peace, will be with you. Because of our awesome Lord Jesus, we can have communion and participation. We can enjoy the presence of God and the fellowship in the Holy Spirit. It says, greet one another with a consecrated kiss. All the saints, the people of God here salute you. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. Yes, Lord. So be it, Lord. That's what we want. We want your presence and your fellowship. We want to share, be sharers and participate with you. You know, if we could just grasp that when we have made the decision to join ourselves to the Lord, we're one spirit with him. We're his very temple. He cherishes us so much that our body is his temple. The price for us is costly. It was the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this in 1 Corinthians 6:17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I wanted to also share this in the Amplified, Ephesians 2:17-22. And he came and preached the glad tidings of peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Remember, we just read, we're his temple. For it is through him that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction. In other words, we have access by the Holy Spirit to the Father so that we're able to approach him. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself, and you belong to God's own household. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise and grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? A sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. Isn't that what we want? In him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in, by, and through the Spirit. And that was, think about what Missy Edwards was singing. Lord, We want you to have a resting place. I mean, it's so beautiful. We can give him that place in our lives where he'll want to rest. He'll want to rest in us. The Holy Spirit is so awesome. You know, he doesn't get up with legalism, but he manifests his righteousness and peace and joy. The kingdom of God is so incredible when you're in the Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14:17. Isn't that what everyone's chasing after? Aren't they chasing? They want to be happy. They want to have peace. And here our God of hope wants to fill us with exactly that. Think about Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the amazing treasure which he's entrusted to us. We have to retain the standard of sound words from the Word of God. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to us. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1:5. Oh, sorry, that was supposed to be separated from the last one. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to us. We have a treasure so unfathomable from heaven itself, the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so we have to guard it through the Holy Spirit. And now it's going to Acts 1. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so I wanted to go through just a little bit of that because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts 1:8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. So the Father promised, that was the promise of the Father, because he wants us to have power to be witnesses. And remember, we were talking about how on the day of Pentecost, God poured out some of his beautiful languages. 2:17, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This is the language of the Spirit. You know, one thing is, we, as children of the Most High God, we have prophetic visions and dreams. And many things in the world come from the soul area. So we have the Holy Spirit who in our spirits pours out these things. And that's how that's how we receive it, is in our spirits. How do they know when the Holy Spirit was being poured out? Well, in Acts 2:33, again, it says, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. And in Acts 2:38, he tells us again, you have to receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So the prerequisite is being born from above, having a relationship with Jesus with through the forgiveness of sins. And it says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we were talking about last week too, how God poured out boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 4:29 through about 31, it talks about after they prayed, that the place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. So we can ask the Holy Spirit to do that kind of stuff. He loves doing it. And so we're going to stop here because I really want to play, although I did play the song before last week, I played it. It's just so amazing. And so it's called He Is Like. And so I'm going to just, I have a couple more minutes before I play that, because I just want to show you just some of the places and what the Holy Spirit did. And this is just going to be a continuous thing talking about him, because he did so many things. He did so many things. And so we talked about, well, in Acts 10:45, think about, it says this, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And so all the Jewish believers were like, whoa, the Gentiles just received the same gift we have. And that was the whole reason why Peter had that trance. And isn't that just so amazing? And in Acts 11:12, it says this, the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And so that's where we talked about, these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he starts to tell the story of how the Holy Spirit fell on them, on the Gentiles, just like it did on them at the beginning. Think about this. In Acts 11:16, he says, and I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts 11:28, the Holy Spirit told them there was going to be a famine. One of them, named Agabus, because he was a prophet, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. Here again in Acts 13:2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now see, they heard him. They heard the Holy Spirit say, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Here again in Acts 13:4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus. And so they didn't have an issue hearing the Holy Spirit give instructions. And in Acts 15:8, and God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. In that same chapter, in Acts 15:28, it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. And so they totally got what the Holy Spirit was saying again in Acts 16:6. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And so you could go on and on, which we will keep doing. One more before we play the song, Acts 16:7. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And so here we have so many examples of the Holy Spirit giving instructions, talking about famines. And the last one I want to read to you, and we always do this one anyway, this is Acts 19:2. And then we're going to do 19:6. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And in Acts 6, in the verses before that, he gives the doctrines about baptism. And here he says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And so we're just going to stop there and we will continue next week talking about the most amazing person in the whole wide universe, the Spirit of the Lord. And so I'm going to play He's Like. So hope you can join me next week. Thank you. Have an awesome week.